There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Siakam the slam.
CJ the Brand. Welcome to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like, subscribe there as well.
All of
sir,
it.
Sir, how we doing?
Everything. I'm doing
Everything.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Doing good. Weather was great here yesterday. It was like 87 degrees.
And stop it. It's snowing here right now. We're in the middle of a snowstorm right now. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of snow. Jeez. Of course you're saying that to me. Jeez.
Hey, man, look. It's not that today, but it's still not that. So
yeah.
But yesterday was crazy. Like, but yeah, other than that, everything's good. You know, everybody's healthy, family's good.
Perfect, perfect. Okay. Today we are doing a segment that people are seeming to gravitate towards. I asked the people, what is a random NBA question that you would have for CJ Miles, along with some of the ones that I have, and got a lot. So people are very curious about assorted things that are less typical, more typical, just things that they're not sure if the answer is out there. So that's why we come to you. So this is going to be kind of a rapid fire sort of segment, but there's a lot of questions. I didn't count them, but there's a lot. So let's just get to it. Okay. On a game day, and this is like, I'm going to mention the Twitter handle if it comes up, but some of these are obviously from myself, and actually some of them are from my wife too, because she was curious. On a game day, all right, so what time do you arrive, and when does your game preparation start?
For me, I was an early guy. I didn't like shooting with multiple guys on the floor.
Right.
I like to get there and get the whole court to myself, at least our side. So I would get there for home games, like 4:30 or so.
Right.
Try to get on the court before 5:30, because that's when, you know, guys start, time starts starting and the whole everybody's preparation kind of starts.
Yeah.
And I didn't like shooting too close to the game time meeting either. So I didn't, because I wanted to be ready and ready to go, warmed up, stretched out, did my lift, pregame lift and all that. Had my snack. I used to eat fruit and a protein shake right before.
Right.
And I would like to be dressed in my sweatsuit, everything except my shoes. And I would like, you know, just take some time to mentally get right. Have a book or whatever it is, whatever music I'm listening to at the time. And I would go through just my routine like that.
There's a lot of questions within what you just said. So game time meeting, what does that mean? Like what happens
so
there?
So it will be like the recap of the scouting report and everything that we're going to do, showing things that if we played a team before, there might be some film clips over stuff that's worked against their defense and things like that. Guys that are playing well, make sure they get highlighted to know like, well, this guy's really, really hot right now. Stuff like that. Some of their go-to plays, you know, just stuff, general scouting report stuff, just like a quick refresher. Right before we step on the floor.
There are some guys that get that like 15, 20 minute window where they can warm up. And then other guys don't. How do you get that slot? Like, I think some of them, you mentioned 4 o'clock. I've seen players start at like 4:35 and then it goes right up until I think like 6 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's like a 15 minute window. This guy leaves, this guy goes on the court, then keeps on switching. How does that get organized?
Just by like that time. So usually younger guys get the earlier times, right? So like veterans don't have to be at the arena for 4 hours, 5 hours if they don't want to.
Right.
But when you have routines kind of developed, like me, I was a early guy. So like there would be a young guy who could get moved to 5:45.
Sure.
Just because of that. Like, you know, veterans, you get, you know, your priority. You get, you know, you earned it to pick a shooting time. That's nothing. You know what I mean? So most of the time it's the young guys go early because they can get there a little bit early and get more work in, especially if they're not playing.
Right.
And if you get all the young guys around the same time, then we can play 2-on-2, 3-on-3. We can do all these different things because everybody's there.
Sure.
And, you know, again, they're not playing, so they can go do some conditioning before the game, so they have to do it after or work out or whatever. And then there's going to be food, so they can eat, so they figure it out. But that's just the price you pay for being young too. Like, you just gotta be there. Like,
when does your game preparation start? Like, from the moment you wake up, when are you like, okay, everything from here on out is towards the game?
The moment game I wake day. Up, when yeah. I get up. Like,
so it's 7 o'clock game, you wake up at, I know you're an early riser. We're talking about that before we started recording.
This depends on if we have shoot around in the morning or we're going to have it before the game. Because sometimes we have shoot around, like, you know, like at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll have like a walkthrough before the game and we just have to all be there a little early. So like some those days would be tricky for like my pregame. Like if I work out at 4:15 or I can work out at 4:30 because we have a walkthrough at 5. So I have to be there at 4 so I can get my workout in before the walkthrough. Right. And then it would just roll right into the regular routines for everybody else. They're 15 minutes. But if we have it in the morning, like I get up, have breakfast, depending on, you know, the day, I'll have breakfast at the practice facility or at home. Depends on what time I got up. It's usually between the same time, like 8:30 or so.
Yeah. Okay.
And depending on traffic, really, when I was in Toronto, depended on if I was going to eat breakfast at home or not.
Don't we know?
So I got in the routine of eating at the facility just to make it easy on myself.
Yeah.
And then go through shoot around, cold tub, hot tub, do my little thing, stretch out, go home, have lunch, nap for no longer than an hour and a half, no longer than 90 minutes. Can't be. Like, that's the rule. Like, most days, it's like an hour. Get up, have something, like have a little snack for the car on the way to the arena before my workout. And then, you know, then I goes back into what I explained before.
Gotcha. What meals are you having on game day? You mentioned the fruit, you know, after you have your workout and you're doing your chill time before or focus time, which again is another thing we got to talk about, but like your breakfast, are there things you're prioritizing to ensure you're eating?
Yeah. Breakfast is the same. My breakfast was the same. It was oatmeal, some form of like omelet or eggs and whatever, with avocado, fruit, and then like a piece of toast with jelly on it. It was the same.
Cherry, jelly, strawberry?
Strawberry.
Strawberry's the best. Where did you live in Toronto?
By the mall. What's the mall? The
Sherway Gardens?
Why can't I remember where I freaking lived? Well, I lived a couple places. The last place before I left was out by the mall. I lived downtown for the most part, though. We were in an apartment downtown.
So Eaton Center then, probably.
Not that far. But the second place I lived was by the mall out like 15, 20 minutes. First I was downtown. So most of my time was spent downtown.
Probably,
I mean, it should have took me like 6 minutes to get to the arena, but it would take me like almost 15.
So you drove, right?
Yeah.
6 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
It's too cold to be walking up there.
It gets so nice during the summertime. Summertime.
No, it does. When I would get back early before we would start, or if I would have to come in during midsummer to do something, like I'd do a camp or something, it's always great. Perfect. The first time I came back for a camp in the summertime and I saw like the people out by the water riding bikes. So I was like, where am I?
I know,
because I hadn't seen it yet. Because I got there, it was crazy.
We are all itching around here. We saw this the snowfall that happened. It happened overnight, and we woke up and just snow everywhere.
That's the worst.
We've gotten like 3 snowfalls so far, and I'm just hoping this is the last one. But there is always one around the time spring starts. It's like just to give you one last FU,
just to remind you, like I'm in control here.
Yes, exactly. Mother Nature,
let you have it, but look.
Mother Nature, she knows all. Yeah. Okay, so that's breakfast. You mentioned that. What's lunch?
Lunch, pretty similar to. It would be like a salad with lots of protein in it. Nuts, chicken, sometimes some loans. Like the fruit and apples in it too, like just a big. And then some type of carbs. Like sometimes I have a little bit of pasta or a little bit of, or sometimes I just make it a wrap so I could get like a little bit more. Because I don't eat a lot again until after the game. It's just me. I did not like to feel full going into a game, which is why after I would work out again, I had to eat something obviously before the game. So I would eat literally apple, orange, banana, and a protein shake.
What do you guys do when they get hungry in games? That must happen.
Protein bars.
protein bars. You can have those
protein,
on the bench.
There's like protein bars all around. Yeah, they got like all the snacks, the energy chews, all that stuff is just laying around. Like, just like somebody comes in and dumps a box out. Like, they're just sitting everywhere. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys drink during games? Is it just water and Gatorade, or is there something special?
Yeah, there's guys water and Gatorade. Some guys got like me, I used to drink BioSteel, the electrolyte mix. That's what I feel BioSteel, like I got the most. Right. The most out of, just because I didn't like the sugar in a lot of energy drinks, because I didn't get the same sustainment from. I would get like these, so like I didn't like that, so I wanted something that would just keep me from cramping up and keep me moving, like, and that's where I settled on with like electrolyte mixes, like BioSteel and
coconut water. Vega.
Coconut water. I use Vega for a little bit also. That's what I did a lot. I still do that with my protein and stuff like that. So
how do you decide which shoes to wear?
That's a good question.
I know, because you're a shoe guy, so that must be tricky.
That was a feel. That was a feel thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just kind of bring a couple pair in, maybe three or four, whatever it is. Just like, it was just like a feel thing. And then just like, I didn't like to wear one shoe for long periods of time. Like, I like to, like, you know.
Like, what's a long period? Obviously. What's a long period? Three games? Four games?
Yeah, it wouldn't be more than a handful of games most times. Okay. And I would just, you know, play around with that. And then some games, you know, it just depend on the jersey. Like, it would literally be just like, I feel like this with the jersey.
That's true. That's true.
So, like, I would just do it that's that important. Way sometimes, too.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. If your jersey gets ripped or you get blood on it or something like that, do you have to pay for the jersey you get again? No?
Nah.
But if you want to give away a signed jersey, you have to pay for that one?
Some of those, I think, if you get like crazy, because they got to keep ordering them. Like,
sure. You're now seeing how random all these questions are.
Yeah, for the most part, I think when like at the end of the season, like when I take home my stuff, I don't pay for that stuff. Now, if I want like eight more jerseys to take home, then I would pay
for those. How about your accessories? Headbands, socks, things like that?
That stuff. You don't pay for that. That's the same thing. Somebody brings a box and dumps it. Right.
And who is that somebody, though? Who is the somebody?
No, you just ask them. So we have equipment manager. So you just, you know, you'll ask them, like, yo, I need some new socks and a wrist and an arm sleeve in my case, like, you know, because I went through a lot of arm sleeves. Either I threw it away out to like a kid or something, or just the white ones would start to look dingy. So you didn't want to keep wearing the white one. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I would imagine like you're switching your socks, accessories, all these kinds of things each game, right? You're not wearing those.
No, I used the same socks for a while. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Most of the time. Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah. There's some days you just want a fresh pair, but like for the most part. Yeah.
So how does that work then? You just tell the equipment manager, like, hey, I want to wear these socks next game?
No. So like the base layer of stuff, like my tights, the tank tops under the jersey, my socks, whatever, I'll have a mesh bag and it'll just go in the mesh bag and they'll take it.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah. And they'll wash
it. I have seen that. Yeah.
And they'll wash it because you don't need that to be new every game.
No, of course not. No.
Just like with our practice gear, like you have like three sets of practice gear. So you always got what you need. So when we travel, they'll take those same sets if we have multiple practices, and before they can get to a washing machine, we'll have.
Right. I forgot about that. I haven't gone into a locker room since like pre-pandemic, and I haven't gone into one just by choice. I haven't really needed to this season, although I have the access to, but I mean, season is kind of, you know, so why bother the guys in the locker room? But I do remember those mesh bags, right? And they just throw it into the bin. Gotcha.
I hate the loop. Some people use the loop. I hate the loop. The loop is, I hate the loop. I just hate it.
What do you mean? What loop?
Like sometimes they use a loop and it's just a loop. So I got to stick this loop through every part of everything. So like the leg of the
leg of the shirt, and I hated
doing that. Just let me throw it in the bag. Just let me put it in the bag. I just played the game.
It was very neat for them though. That way you're not getting someone else's socks. That's important.
But I felt like the loop stuff used to come off the loops all the time. I felt like that rarely happened in the bags. But you probably get cleaner on the loop than you do in the bag.
Probably.
So
I would think so, yes.
I'll take the sanitized portion of my stuff back. Take that back.
A question from @KaloForLife. Great name. Does CJ have a pregame music type? Is it slow jam? Is it hype? And what kind of music is it? What is it?
There, like, I used to kind of like, first of all, on the road, I would like try to find music from that city. So if he went to Chicago, I'd be listening to Kanye, Common, Twista, Cool. You know what I mean? Like, I would do that because I was a music guy. So, like, I always wanted to get, like, that vibe. I would do that. New York, I got a plethora of stuff I could listen to, right? All over the place. And then if there was something I was just really into at the time, I would just kind of make a playlist of those songs that kind of, like, took me, you know, it start off kind of, you know, even kill. It might take me up. But I was never a super hype guy. So I would never get to this crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But I would just let it take me, you know, like, because even it's not, it's just background noise, really, because I'm getting dressed. I'm just mentally, I'm checked in the game already. But that just kind of like gives me something, gives me an anchor, like to hold me in the space I'm in. So I just create this flow with a playlist that would take me up into the point right before the game. And then that song, it might not be the craziest hype song, but it was something that helped me. It was a motivator or it was something that put me in my space.
A question from at She Docs. Do NBA players usually get anxious right before a game, or does it typically wear off as you spend more years in the league?
I think it wears off. You still get excited to go play.
Yeah. Anxious and excited are different. Yeah.
Yeah. You still get excited, but like anxious or nervous type feelings, I don't think. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I didn't get that. I would still get excited though. Like that feeling, like, you know, especially in the big games, you know, it's going to be a crowd
war,
be
a different
feel. Yeah. Like you get excited, you playing basketball on the biggest stage, like, and the stage is even bigger on those nights. So like, I know if the Warriors come to town that I'm on the biggest stage every night, but that stage is a little bit bigger.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and I think you still, that's the kid in you still, you still get to do that.
How long did it take you to channel that? So it wasn't negative energy, like scattered energy, and it was more focused. Like it helped, it helped lock you in as opposed to making you a little bit more sporadic.
I think as I grew, what did it for me was my role on my team growing.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford for it to do that. You know what I mean? Like when I was younger, I was just excited if I got the chance to even get out there. So I let everything out. Like it was like a just boom, like shot out of a cannon. But like the now that I know I'm playing and what my role is and what I need to be able to do to help us win this game, now I can channel that energy into focusing on those things.
Sure.
Because I can't afford not to do those things for us to win the big game if I'm a big part of what we're doing.
And you want to play.
and you want to play. So I think that was what helped me learn how to start challenging that. Don't get me wrong. There's still some nights where you're just kind of like, I still had nights like that in year 15 where I was just kind of like, man, like I'm just, it's just moving. It's got you going. Like you just kind of get caught up in it. But I think for the most part, those were the biggest things.
When you were feeling that way, where just, you know, whatever you want to call it, like you're just a little bit more hyped up than usual. Is there someone that would tell you, be like, you got to chill or relax? Or would it be a coach when you check out or check in or something like that saying, let's focus up?
Yeah, like, I mean, because everybody, you spend that much time with people, everybody can tell when you're, you know, you're a little different. And then it's me too, because I feel it. Like, so one thing, I was never one of those guys, you know, guys, they hit their, like, Super Saiyan stage. Like, you know, they get that rage and they go on it. I was never a guy that felt like that helped me.
Yeah.
Like, I had issues in the beginning of my career because sometimes the coaching staff would think I wasn't playing hard. Because I didn't show it that way, because I wasn't a screamer or a yeller or like it wasn't this physical. I was just locked into what I was doing. And I'm not that way as a person either. So like that was the other thing. I'm pretty even keel most of the time. Like it's little fluctuations. I'm never a big. So to carry that rage, I feel like I'm not me. So I'm not going to play the same.
Sure.
And don't get me wrong, there are nights where, you know, your passion and stuff comes out. But for the most part, I was not, I didn't play well like that. I didn't play well when I was emotionally charged.
Who does? I mean, I guess some players are able to.
Some players do. Like some, but that just wasn't me, because I was, like I say all the time, I'm a hooper. Like that was like me to my core. That's all I did growing up. Like that's what I am. So when I take myself out of that freedom that I get from basketball by inserting rage or inserting all this other emotional stuff, it clouds the way I'm going to play.
Sure.
Because I'm playing off instinct. I'm free when I play basketball. Or at least that rage adds something that has no reason to be there.
Yeah.
I don't need rage doing something I love. Me personally, that's how I felt.
Right. Has there been notable pre or post game rituals you saw from teammates, or did you have any?
I mean, everybody's got their little things. Like we fall into being creatures of habits. You do something every day, so
sure.
Like you know what I mean. Yeah. You just fall into like I had one that started after my grandma passed when I was playing. I remember, and it was obviously. I mean, I shouldn't say obvious, but it was during season when it happened, so I couldn't be around when it happened. I couldn't get there. I obviously went home for the funeral or whatnot, but like I remember going to the corner like when they announced the starting lineups, and I still did this up until the end of my career, the opposite corner in front of our bench. And I would just stand there and take a space, take a moment, like close my eyes.
Yeah.
The arena's quiet, dark. And I just had that moment, you know, just it was another refocusing thing for me too. Like you got some of the things that are in your wise, like, you know, just focusing on that connection. Like, you know, it's a prayer. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just, you know, praying for guidance over us in the game, about no injuries, no, you know what I mean, to play the right way, be able to do the right things and be as competitive as can be without it crossing the line. Obviously that moment with my grandmother, my family and all that, but that was my ritual. And then the pulling up on the rim. That's pictures of me always doing that right before after I do that, I would run. Yeah. And I started doing that. And that was like, I tell people all the time, it's just me seeing the inside of the rim so the ball goes there when I shoot it.
What do you do if you got to go to the bathroom and you're on the court? Like, do you, I mean, sometimes, I mean, I think we've seen it a few times with other sports where a player checks out, he just bolts and everyone's like, oh no, he's hurt. But then it turns out he's just going to the bathroom.
It's never happened to me.
Good.
I never had to to the point where I was in a game and I was like, oh man, I gotta come out of this game. Like I've never hit that point. Like it's gotta be crazy for it to happen too. Cause you know, you're pretty hyper focused on what's going on. I don't think like for you to have to bolt off that court means you really gotta go in my mind.
It's nature, man. It's nature calls. Yeah.
All those years and it never happened. Huh. Maybe also if I don't eat a lot before the game either though. So
that's true. I couldn't do that. I need to have something of a full stomach before I go do a workout. It's just how I'm wired a little bit.
I felt like it made me feel complacent. Like it made me feel like, oh, I'm good. Like I didn't have nothing else to do if I ate like that right before the game. I wanted that little bit of a hunger feeling and lighter too. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was me though.
What happens during halftime?
People go to the bathroom. No.
Probably,
no, people,
though.
No, they do. People go to the bathroom, hydrate. Somebody got to get stretched, something out, whatever that gets worked on. And then we just, like, we go over the first half, like, real quick. Yeah. And we talk about, you know, need to rebound more or what they're killing us on. There might be a couple clips.
Head coach? Like,
from, yeah, there might be a couple of clips from the whole coaching staff. There might be a couple of clips from the first half of things that we did well and didn't do or things that they're killing us on.
Sure.
And then it's like, yo, we need to nip this in the bud. And
yeah, gotcha.
Then we run back out.
Is there ever like a motivational speech, something that really stuck out to you?
I mean, some days, playoff time. Yeah, some days there might not be any of that other stuff, and it might just be literally to get us motivated. Like, it's just like some nights showing me the clips is not going to mean nothing if there's no effort or if we're tired or if we need some extra juice, like if we need something else, you got to speak right to us. And some people, sometimes you got to call a guy by name. You know, like it happens like that, but you got to be careful because you got to pick the right guy.
Oh, yeah.
Some guys can't take that. Some guys that will make them fold. And some guys, you know, that accountability brings more of their spirit out. It doesn't make them hide. So I think coaches I've seen some good coaches be good with that. Knowing guys that can take coaching in that way and knowing it's not going to embarrass them and them try to go be Superman or anything in the next quarter or so. But I think sometimes it's just about getting the guys going. So I can't think of one speech, but I could think of a bunch of times Coach Sloan cursed us out. I could think of a bunch of times, same with B. Scott, Mike Brown, like those guys, they were really, Mike Brown was really good at halftime, especially with a young team. Frank Vogel was really good. Like they picked and they walked the line. They picked and chose when they wanted to do that.
Another vague question, but it kind of goes to what you're saying here. Example of best example of leadership from a player. So you've played with some great ones. That could be a halftime thing, could be a post-game thing. Anything that sticks out?
Like a moment or just like
yeah,
just
a
in
moment,
general?
Like a moment where maybe it really helped connect the team in a moment that they needed it, and then you guys went out there and got her done.
I can't think of one because I always looked at I never looked at the talking as the greatest sign of leadership.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of guys say a lot of stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. A lot of guys say just because they feel like they can. And that's why also, like, your best player might not always be your leader either.
Sure.
Like, so it's the guys that'll do what we talking about.
Mm.
Like, that's why I think Kyle Lowry was so good. Like, he ain't got to jump up and give us speeches and do whatever. He's taking charges, diving on the floor, setting screens on people twice his size. You know, he's doing everything that we need to do to win. Why do I need to talk about
it? Right.
Like, I'm already telling you what I want to do by the way you watch me play. So that was what I always felt like leadership was, those guys that who almost didn't have to say nothing. It's like, I'm going to just go do it.
I think
sometimes that gets confused when you, especially when you calling a guy out and there's no response, like you, cause you want to see that they hear you. Like, well, just let me go show you that I hear you.
Right. I would imagine that, you know, teams have like some sort of post-win ritual tradition. Sometimes it's a song, sometimes it's a belt or whatever. What's been like the best one that you saw with the team?
I didn't have a lot of those.
No, maybe no, it's a new thing.
It's a newer thing, and it's becoming a thing at the end. But like we good game, like you know. And there are days like you know a guy gets a game ball because he does something really special. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, to affect the game. But for the most part, but I was also lucky to play on some really good teams, and I think when you get to a point where winning was what was expected anyway, you kind of like lean away from that.
Yeah, sure.
Especially when it's. But the teams I played on really good early had older guys, so they weren't into that type of stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I was in an old-school space when I was in Salt Lake in the beginning of my career. And then in Indiana, we had the first – especially we had some older guys. So it wasn't – they acknowledged guys for doing special things and accolades. Like, if a guy hit a certain number of points, stuff like that, before my night-to-night basis, like, we set out to win.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reward you for doing what I asked you to do almost type thing, you know?
I get that.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. I think it keeps guys engaged and I think that is a good thing to do. I'm just saying that's what it felt like in the spaces I was in.
After a game, what are you doing to get your body feeling right? I would imagine it's like hot tub. And I wanted to ask you about this too, because Kobe Bryant, he was one of the people that, you know, said when it comes to like pre-post workouts, it's really important to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So between all those things, like what are the things that you're doing post-game to get yourself right?
Stretching is usually the first thing. Still a little bit warm too. Just kind of get the body to cool down. And then it'll be hot tub, cold tub, contrast type of thing. Shower. Just get like a really good meal because I haven't eaten since 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you haven't.
And I've worked out before the game, lifted before the game, and played the game. So you want to be able to recover tomorrow so you can start working, you know, whatever you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing would be getting a good meal after and then the sleep. Normatec, I would Normatec when I got home. Also
Normatec?
Like the compression boots.
Oh, okay.
The compression boots. I would do that. And then the next day, I would get like some soft tissue work done on like the legs and the calf, the muscles, just to keep everything loose, find any knots, and then go back at it.
Is that harder stuff to do on the road?
No, they do a really good job, actually. So what the training staff will have a room. The training staff will have a hotel room in the room.
Okay.
And they'll have space, or they'll get the head trainer a room that'll have space where they can have a couple of the training tables in there. And we just do the times like we do the pregame. Everybody, if you need to come in, you text, and then they'll give you a time when you could come the next day, and you come get your treatment, your work done, and they do a good job. And they have pretty much all their tools with them. So, you know.
Post-game meal, what is it?
No, it depends. Like, I'm a big fish guy. So I love salmon. I love a big piece of salmon.
Nice.
Sweet potato, some type of green, some type of just stuff like that. Depending on where I'm at. Like, I didn't especially during the season, depending on like I would pick and choose my desserts and things like that. But like, if there's no game the next day, and you know, I'm looking at the schedule, like I'll have some because I don't want to do anything that's going to spark like some inflammation or anything like that from the extra, sure, whatever. But or it depends on how many minutes I play. I played a high level minutes that night because somebody's been out, and I played 37 minutes. I'll eat whatever I want. I wouldn't go eat fast food. I would eat good, but I would eat whatever I wanted, like because I needed the calories to be able to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I've seen players that I go in the locker room and they're eating pizza, and usually it's the guys that played a heavy amount of minutes, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not doing that all the time, but like they know, like at this point, like and the pizza they ate probably wasn't enough, like which is crazy, like because you think about the whole day leading up, like they did what I did too before that game.
Yeah.
So like you're in a deficit, what they caloric deficit, they like to,
you're
in a deficit for sure.
No question.
I saw somebody ask about, I don't know if you're gonna ask this, about do we count calories? Somebody asked that on Twitter, one of the questions.
They did, yes.
And that's the thing. Like I'm pretty sure some guys do or did at some point, but I don't know a lot of guys that do. They don't have to. Unless they went home and ate like double cheeseburgers from fast food places every day, then you kinda gotta. But like for the most part, the way we eat and they feed us so much, you don't get that. Like they have breakfast at practice facility before practice. There's lunch after practice at the practice facility on practice days.
Yeah.
Some days on the road, like we won't have a shoot around, we'll have a breakfast meeting. So they'll feed us at the hotel. So they'll have the food out. So you know what I mean? You don't have to work as hard to get the food.
I was gonna ask you about that, and I think someone else did too, is on those occasions where there isn't a practice, a game or something like that, who's making the food? How many players can cook? Or is it being done
by
someone else?
I don't know, but a lot of guys have chefs though.
Yeah.
Like that's eventually they get like a, cause I did in Toronto, shout out to my man, Nick. He was great.
Yeah.
He even came down to Texas for a little bit.
Nice.
But like, like a lot of guys end up getting a chef. Cause that's like, you think about everything that you got to do just to be able to stay playing well at a good level and to be able to do what we're doing every day. Like you don't want to have to think about how you're going to get your food.
Yeah.
And it's too important for it to be like put on the back burner.
Mm.
So, you know, you can't just be like, I'll get whatever I can get. But you also, like you said, I'm not going to sit down and prepare these meals and do the I don't have the time to cook, or I need to be resting, or say there's an appearance or something that we have to do, and it's just easier, especially when you got a family too. It's a little easier when you're single because you can float around all the time. Like it's when you get a family, it's different. So I think that's the biggest thing now, and guys are really into that now. Like a lot of guys have they have a meal prep person. Somebody's prepping their meals for like if you got like a homestand, somebody prep them every couple, 3 days, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's easy too.
It's probably hard for younger players to understand how to eat well.
Yeah. Like cause they never had to.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they never had to, they've never done this amount of work. You're a superhero until you're what? 25 probably. Right. Like nobody, you could do whatever you want. So you imagine a superhero who trains to be a superhero. Like most people are superheroes before they even not even training to be. The body just does what it does. Now this is a kid who has youth on his side and he's training. He can eat whatever he wants. And that's why you see guys go through these little curves. I'm not saying you should, because it can still lead to like little things happening, little injuries, little things from fatigue, because that type of food is still going to affect how you feel. You might be able to still operate, but you could feel better if you were eating right.
Definitely.
So it's definitely hard for them. Like they don't have to. They walk in the gym and take it between the legs and dunk it without warming up. Like, why do I need to worry about what I'm eating?
Those legs change though.
Very fast. They do. How could they not?
Yeah.
It's so much basketball.
Sure. Yeah. Is there a memorable missed call?
Oh, don't do that to me.
Sorry.
There's plenty of those. I can't even think of one off the top of mind. There was one in Toronto where I think it was JV should have got an and one.
Playoff game, I'm assuming?
Dunked it at the buzzer. I don't remember if it wasn't a playoff game, but we ran an out of bounds play and the play worked perfect, got him got the shot we wanted. He finished it at the rim. We ended up going to overtime, and he should have went. And it was like the most obvious blame. I can't remember what game this was. But I remember
that play that it's like the fake dribble handoff at the elbow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And go and dunk it.
It was that play. Yes, it was that play. And everybody was so hyped that we celebrated with him on the floor. And then everybody was like, yo, like, why was it not? You know what I mean? Because you couldn't do both. And this is during my first year, obviously, that this happens. But yeah.
Have officials, this was a question from at Whispering 375. Has an official referee apologized afterwards, saying sorry, my bad, I missed that, or I'll get you later? Because I know stuff like that happens, right?
Yeah. And I can respect that.
Yeah.
I can respect you telling me, don't hit me with the don't talk to me and all that. Don't hit me with the, like, if I come to you, just be like, yo, I missed it, or I didn't, or tell me that you didn't think it was a foul.
Yeah.
Say that. Give me a, you can, but obviously I have to come to you respectfully too. Like, I never had a problem with refs. Like, that's because I never, I came to them.
Sure.
The right way. So, you know, but I think it's definitely, like, I respect that you miss. And even sometimes it might be a play they can't remember, and they'll look at it, like the coach asked them to look at it at halftime, and they'll look at it and they'll come out at halftime and be like, yeah, we missed that one. They'll tell you. It's not everybody, obviously, like but like I've seen it happen before. My favorite time to talk to the referees was in timeouts, though, before I was in the game. Like, if I saw stuff going on, watching from the bench,
I see that do
something.
That.
There's something in the huddle, and I'm not going in the game yet, so I'm not really involved in what's – like, if they're drawing up the drawing – or talking about something that's, that I can walk away from, I would go out and just, like, talk to them and, you know, be like, what you think about this play? Like, he just drove. I thought he had his hand on his hip, whatever. He's like, well – and we'll have a real conversation about it. Like, you say, well, I thought this, or I didn't see that, or I'm like, okay. And I'll be like, well, we've driven the last three times, and he's ended up on the floor, and the last drive that they made, it was like – minimal contact, and they got to the free throw line. And it might have been two different refs that made the calls, but by me bringing that into light, I can highlight the fact that we're attacking the basket. You should be more aware of what's going on.
Sure. And there's a constructive way to do it. I think sometimes, I mean, referees are people too, so they'll probably remember something. And if it's a 50-50 call, it might not go your way.
And I'm walking up as a veteran too, so I have a little bit of money in the bank. Awesome. Like, I've been around for a long time and never got into it with a referee. So, like, he's more inclined to, like, you know, because he knows I'm not about to come at him crazy. Sure. So he's more inclined to give me a little bit. And that's still, some referees still don't want to hear, and that's fine.
What's the most expensive thing you've ever purchased?
Yikes. Yep. Most expensive thing I've ever purchased?
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously a house is like a different kind of thing, but a house, we're talking
cars, you know, maybe, I guess.
The fancy things, the luxuries.
I mean, definitely a car. I never did anything crazy in the car. I had an Aston Martin when I was in Indy.
Okay.
I was single. Also single. That's probably it, honestly.
Probably the one?
That's not a house here. Like, it's not a house, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Thing, but you don't seem like a type to spend.
I'm not going to say I never spent, but it wasn't on nothing like, it wasn't.
Yeah. Biggest prank or prankster on any team you have played for? That's from Andrew Livingston.
I can't remember, like, any big stuff because, you know, a lot of stuff, they started phasing out because we got to the point where there was too many cameras around and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
open gym, for instance?
That's a sensitivity thing, you know?
Yes.
Not to say there was crazy stuff going on, but you didn't want it to look like bullying or hazing and stuff like that, like that type of thing. And you got to be a little bit more sensitive to, like, you know, how those guys feel. So, I can't really think of anything crazy. It was minor stuff, you know, lotion and socks. Know what I mean? Like, stuff like, or something in a shoe, or hiding the jersey, not messing, like, nothing crazy. I had a few guys, like, when I was young, when I was in Utah, we just all messed with each other. Like, we were a younger group, like, Paul, Ronnie, Darren, Ronnie Price, you know what I mean? So it's hard to really count that as a prankster because we were kids. Like, we did what kids did. Like, we messed with each other. but that would always be the normal stuff. You mess with the rookies a little bit, popcorn in their cars.
Norm Powell, Patrick Patterson.
Put popcorn in Deion Waiters' car, and there was popcorn coming out of the vents like a week later.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's pretty
good. Mess up his car.
But hey, you know?
Yeah. Our practice facilities, I mean, that's what it is. Our practice facilities open to players 24/7. Like, can you go to there anytime, any day? You want to go at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever? Is it always available?
Yeah, you can get in there. Yeah, because it'll like the security, like we'll have like it'll be codes or cards or whatever ways to get in, keys, or there's always security there too. So
there is always security.
And they'll let you in. Because I remember when I got drafted and I got to Utah and they gave me this code. It was like, what is this? If that's for the practice, it blew my mind that I could go anytime I wanted. Like, that was the best thing that anybody had ever told me. Like, you know, because I was in high school breaking into my high school gym. Like, I remember the alarm went off one time and I ran home. Like, this happened. Like, I had to get cool with the janitor so they would let me in if I came in the evenings while they were doing their job, like that type of thing. So, like, to get there and they'd be like, well, here's this four-digit code. Whenever you want to go, got it. And I'm like, man, that's love. Like,
that's pretty good. The Raptors have that too at OVO. But it's eyes.
So crazy that it's OVO. They added the eye stuff. I remember they were starting to do that stuff.
That question was from David Lucas.
Nobody's getting in there.
No. Do players sometimes skip practice and they're doing it just to get some extra rest? Or like, can you have an excused absence from practice? How does that work? Can you call in sick?
I mean, you could. It's like it's still a job and anything. But most of the time, especially now, they're pretty on top of it. Like, if guys need it and they just find a way to make sure you can take care of your body, because that's the number one thing, right? Like, I can't do anything without my body working right. So, and that's for everybody. There'll be days, even the young guys that's not playing, they'll have lockout days too, where they can't come in the gym. They'll get them out of there, get a break, get away from it. But for the most part, like, you can call them sick, I guess, if it's, you really got something going on.
You really
but
want
for the
to.
Most part, they figure it out.
Yeah. It's not a good sign if you're doing that, I guess.
Cause at the same time, if you are sick, we have a doctor and everybody, like, we have so much here that can help you. Like, so why wouldn't we're going to ask you to come in anyway?
Yeah.
If you can, obviously, if it's not something where you can't leave the bathroom, that's different.
Yeah. That question was from Northside J. Okay. Where do you want to go here? How often do players from opposing teams go out together after games? That's from also David.
I mean, you see guys, like, guys have friendships, guys that might have played with other guys or.
Sure.
Like, so say, it's like if Pascal went to San Antonio and they were spending the night, it wouldn't be uncommon to see them go to dinner after the game, right?
That
type of thing. Like, it's not as much as you would think. Like, we're not just, but yo, what should we do? It's not like that. Mm. But, like, there's relationships and ties. Yeah. Guys do that. Night before the games, it doesn't happen as much. If you're staying over, it's not happening the night before the game. Because then it looks like you're just buddy-buddy. Like the competition edge looks different.
Yes. There is a road trip section that I'm going to be closing this out with, and kind of some of the things you're talking about will be asked in there. How about, so a little while ago, you talked to me about at some point you had accepted that your role was going to be, you know, a shooter in the NBA, right? Because you realized that's how you're going to be successful. Do you wonder what was on the other side? Like, if you were given the keys, you know, for instance, and they said, hey, we want you to be, you know, a shooting guard, a ball handling shooting guard with shooting as well. Cause you did have like some chops as a driver, right?
Yeah.
So do you ever wonder, like, did you think about like, I wonder if I did that, where my career would have gone?
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about it still sometimes. Cause when I came in, that's what it was. You know what I mean? I wasn't a shooter. I was a basketball player. Like, I was just doing the best thing I did coming up was pass the ball. Like, it wasn't shoot the ball. Like, I was playing point guard on AAU through my high school, all of that. Did some in the some ball handling in the Utah system and stuff like that. Backdoor cutter, catching lives. I was just playing out of it. And then just by who I was playing with, it changed that. So, like, when I get to, I'm playing beside Darren Williams. So, like, obviously, like, your ball handling responsibilities are going to go kind of down into the tank, you know? Like, you got him playing. I go play with Kyrie. Same thing.
Yeah.
So how do I make my team better and get myself opportunities to be on the floor to even get the chance to still be able to do a little bit of those other things. And then I also looked at it like, if I could become a really good shooter, I add such a different element to being a shooter, right? Because the only problem is I think I had times where because I became a shooter and that was what we drilled and practiced so much, you take some of those things out the forefront of your mind. So you don't attack in some situations, like we talked about with Scotty. Like, you're not always aggressive in certain situations because you're not thinking about them.
When players are traded during a season with short notice, who packs their belongings? Is there someone that helps them get everything they need to their new team? That's from Demetra on Twitter.
Yeah, that's somebody that helps. Just kind of, you know, like we got people in the front office that help with everything. You know, they help when we're moving in, when we get to a new city. There's somebody going to receive you at the other side that's going to help you find apartments and help you get in touch with real estate agents and this and that. So they just kind of make it as smooth as they can. I believe there's even like a little bit of a money that you get to help cover some of that stuff too.
Oh, cool. That's useful. Moving. Yeah. It's expensive. It's the worst part.
Especially when you're moving across country sometimes. Like,
Indeed. Yeah. Did you ever have to
a different country?
Oh, true. Yes. Yeah. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. Was there a time where the snow was so bad, for instance, in some city and you need to get like a car service to get you to the game because it wasn't safe to drive or something like that? Did that ever happen?
No, because usually if it got that bad, like there would be some type of postponement or cancellation, or like if they felt like that, then they would do something different. But I never had that. I'm not saying nobody's has. I know some guys that had to figure it out, or or they got out and the traffic was so bad, or you know, they got to the game late, or that's happened before, like, or got there right before tip off or something, like missed a shooting time because of traffic. That's happened before, especially in Toronto.
The Gardner is still bad, by the way, and the DVP. Still very bad. Very, very bad.
How could it
need
not
more, be? Need more lanes,
there's
man.
There's so many people. This is
what
it is.
When in doubt, build
a
condo.
And there's snow.
From at Sarah Remington, can you paint a picture of the type of support and perks that NBA teams provide their players? Anything from details, including like orientation, education, to ongoing support. Things like that. Maybe something that would actually surprise a fan.
I mean, everything, a little bit of everything, right? So like I have an allotment that will pay for me to go to college right now. I just haven't figured out what I want to go for. Like, you know what I mean? There's programs for everything. Like, obviously, like they help. We have 401ks, they have annuities. They help to get guys from the time they stop playing to their retirement kicks in. So they have to take their retirement money early.
Yeah.
Any type of the NBPA and the NBA, they work with getting guys contacts and other interests off the floor business wise. They will audit your financial advisor if you ask them to. They will like basically do the deepest background check on the people that you're working with. They'll do that.
That's important.
You.
That's
what I mean. Like there's a lot of things that they've grown into becoming, making the resources. Just it's wisdom. Like, you know what I mean? Like all these things happen over time.
Sure.
You got to start applying certain things to help these players. I'm trying to think what else would be. Obviously, by the number of years that you play, like depicts the amount of benefits you get afterwards. Like, so like, guys that play have these long 15, 17, 18, 19 year careers, like their insurance and things like that they're able to get perks of from years of service. It's a job still too. So there's a lot of perks that we get from that side too.
I mean, that's you. You spent 16 years in the league. So
I wasn't gonna say myself though.
Yeah.
they do a lot of good things. They do.
That's good. That's important for everyone, whether you're one, two, three, however many years you spent in the NBA.
And then there's
rookie orientation.
It's not orientation, it's cost enough. But but you go do that. And there's a lot of information covered during that week, like as much as they can cover is just like a base of things that are going to be, especially the beginning of stuff that's going to be thrown at you from where not to be in B, security, even the way girls are, like everything is that you can like think of. There's somebody there to speak on that type of thing.
Right. From Matt Chance, can players ask for new sweats whenever they want? If there's something that you saw in like the real sports, you know, real sports, or you're like, I kind of want that. Can you just request it, or do you got to go purchase it?
Nah, you got to get that.
Yeah.
Like, and like, unless it's a, obviously we have that version, it's like made off what we have, but the stuff that we get in the beginning of the year and all that, you can get those pretty much whenever you want. Like, obviously you can't go in there every day like, yo, I need a new sweatsuit, but you can get, you know, enough for more than enough is what I should say.
Yeah. What was your favorite off-court item that you would do as a team? And this is actually a question from someone. They were asking about the best bonding experiences that a team has done for you. But I'm also talking like the charity stuff that you guys do. I think the Raptors, they went to a women's school and they were playing ball with them for a little bit. And there's sick kids in Toronto. And I think the Raptors and Leafs and other teams do that as well. Was there one that you're like, man, that was really rewarding?
It's always the children's hospitals.
Yeah, of course.
All of those.
For obvious reasons.
They used to be really hard in the beginning because you hated to see like a kid in a position like that.
Yeah.
And you don't look at yourself as something that would make a difference. And then you start seeing these kids that, like they say, have done nothing but sleep and lay around for 3-4 days. And we come in and they light up and they jump up because they watch us on TV. Like, you know what I mean? And like, and it puts a lot of things in perspective. Like, it changed the way that I looked at a lot of things, like, and just the way I presented myself in some of those situations. Like, even if it was hard for me, that kid wasn't going to know.
Yeah.
Because
you can't show it.
It's not about, it's not about me.
Yeah.
I didn't come here. It's not about me. We came here because to spread any type of joy that we can. Mm. And even the parents that are in there too, like the parents that are in there sleeping beside that kid in that bed, like they're in spots. There's dads and moms we met that's been lifelong Jazz fans that just brighten their day, and they've been dealing with a lot too.
Sure.
We used to go to St. Jude's in Salt Lake every year. And then obviously like children's hospitals all in every market that I was in, we went to them.
Yeah.
And those things were, they were always powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine it's like the balance, right? That you have to, you know, put the smiling face on, and in some ways you have to act. You are excited to see them, but you feel bad. But they spend so much of their lives people feeling sad for them. Exactly. They don't need that from you.
They want to be treated like a normal person. Like not that they're not normal, but they want to be treated like a kid. Like they want to have a good time. They want it to be a moment. They want to enjoy this moment. They understand that it's a moment also, whether you know how. Matter how young they are, older, they understand. So, like, let's not place that in this moment.
Gotcha.
Let's take all the positive out of it. And let's just deal with that.
Mm. So true. Okay, last segment. It's on road trips, 10 minutes or so. And actually what we're talking about with kids, what is the longest amount of time you've been away from home on a road trip?
I think the longest ones get to, like, 2 weeks, right? Probably the most.
Yeah. The Raptors one is pretty fresh, and that was 2 weeks. That was long.
Yeah, that's the one. I think that's pretty much the one. Unless you play for the Spurs and they do the rodeo. They spend like a month. They do the month, but I didn't do that. So, but like I think the longest one was like 2 weeks, 11, 12, 13 days, something like that.
Yeah, that's rough. Rough on the fam, I would imagine. Yeah. Rough on the dads and everything.
Especially when you got young kids.
Yeah.
But the good thing is though, a lot of those will be West Coast or somewhere where you get a couple of days. So like if you can get them, like we would go to LA in the winter in Toronto, like you try to get them out there.
Sure.
So they can get some sunlight too and get some good weather. You got a couple of days and just try to figure it out. If you can do it, obviously. And sometimes you just have to thug it out. Like sometimes don't allow it. There's not enough time.
Do players to some degree decide where they're going to have a longer stay in particular cities? Like, and you mentioned LA, when you get your schedule for the season, are players just like, all right, so we got a 3-day break here. We should spend another day in New York. We should spend another day in Chicago, Florida, whatever. And do they like relay that to the team staff?
Some teams do, some teams don't. But some, from what I know, like a lot of, there's a few times like they communicate with it and, you know, just like, hey, y'all want to stay overnight here instead of flying there, we can have practice there, or how you want to do it. And, you know, obviously, no offense to any city, but some cities you rather spend the night in than go spend a day and a half in another city. I'm not going to name any because I don't want nobody. but yeah, so like, I think that's cool. Or like, if we're going to have a day off, so like, say we went to Dallas and I wanted to stay the night with my family and we're going to have the day off tomorrow, but we're going to leave, and I can stay, they'll let me stay. Okay. And I just have to be where the team is before we practice. So we're going to have, we're going to play Monday and going to have the day off tomorrow in Houston, but I don't want to go to Houston. I can talk to somebody and they'll be like, oh yeah, you can stay here with your family and just, and I just come to Houston the next night and then be ready for practice on Wednesday.
Well, you don't have to mention the worst cities to play in, but what were your favorite road cities? There's probably
New York and Dallas on the top because they were like home to me. Like I lived in both those places.
Sure.
Like not playing basketball. Like Miami. But this is basketball too. This is not even just like the off course. I like the arena too. I liked playing in that arena. I used to love Seattle. I was telling myself like I got to play in Seattle. I love Seattle. Yeah. I'm still mad there's no team in Seattle. I love Seattle.
That could come back.
What else? Like Chicago.
I can see the come.
Like
yeah, Chicago.
Because I grew up a Michael Jordan fan. So like getting to play there is wild to me still that I got to do that.
No doubt.
Was there anybody else? Brooklyn and the Garden, by the way. Brooklyn's arena and the Garden. I like both of those arenas a lot.
Brooklyn's is really nice. That's one that I've been to. I went there as a fan. It's very cool. What are the most popular games on airplanes that players play to pass the time? Is it particular card games or is there anything else? Yeah,
Bourree and poker. Sometimes dominoes.
Yeah. Money's being exchanged, of course.
Yeah. Then you got guys that just got their video games. Like they got Nintendo Switches and stuff hooked up to like screens, stuff like that too. So,
how much is off-court activity monitored by teams during that time?
I'll never know the whole answer because even if they do know what you did, nobody's going to talk about it if nothing happened. But I'm sure they know, you know, kind of what's going on. And then there's a lot of times they'll tell us before we get somewhere, hey, I know this is a spot that's been, you know, popping off and we got a couple of days there, but don't go there. Like, because they'll have a security tap in with another team or a police officer, somebody they know, and they'll tell them, like, look, it's been some stuff going on. Let's just don't even bother with it. Even I know it sounds good, but just don't go. So they kind of know what's going on. And then there's some nights, like, if we're doing a thing as a group and we're going to go out, the security team would just go with us.
Sure.
Like, not saying we're going out to clubs and stuff with them, but if we're going to go hang out and do something, go bowling, go do this, they'll just come with us.
Gotcha. How often do so say you're going to a city and you know a few players there, right? You have a close friend. Would you ever spend the night at that teammate's place? No, nothing like that. That was from Love for Scotty.
I wouldn't do it. I went to go have dinner at their house before.
Yeah.
Like before a lot of time. But like I said, if we're staying, I'm not seeing you the night before a game. I'll see you the night after the game.
That's true. Right.
That was just like me. Like that was just like.
Yeah.
But if we're not staying, like obviously we got a real relationship. I know your kid, but I'm going to come.
Sleeping could be a problem, I would imagine. You got 3-hour time difference would be the most encountering in the NBA. Is there a sleep medication you guys are given? I would imagine some guys aren't as good as maybe you are napping.
Nothing crazy. Yeah, nothing crazy. Nothing that like melatonin if you need it. Like there's nothing like – there's no like super drug off the market that we're getting to make us be able to, there's nothing. Or they're just like, you know, we talk about all the stuff that everybody else talks about. Talk about screen time, talk about like how to wind down, things like that. And you just got to learn how to deal with it too. But I think you do learn also. And they do a good job of making the next day's schedule, letting it help us. Like we're not going to have practice tomorrow at 10 in the morning. When I know there's a time, like we might not practice until noon.
Sure.
So that way we can get you that extra time because you might not fall asleep and you can sleep in, and then we still got time for you to take a nap afterwards because we're only going to practice for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. So,
right. Do you guys always have your own rooms at hotels, or was it shared at any point? No?
Shared in the G League when I first got in the G League a long time ago.
Yeah, sure.
But even that now is not, they don't share in the G League anymore. So.
Mm. Do you bring comfort items, things from home? A coworker of mine told me that in some soccer leagues that they'll bring like some kind of display that is similar to a player's home bedroom to make them feel comfortable on the road.
I understand that. I never did that, but I understand. I know where you're going with that. Yeah, I never did that. Because like the other thing is like as soon as I get to where I'm going, I end up on FaceTime and it just sounds like the kids are running around the room anyway. So like, so it's fine. You know what I mean? Like I just sit there and we'll just be on the phone like I'm there. Like we'll sit there. Now that they're older, they don't care as much. They're just like, oh, hey, daddy. Like I don't leave as much either, so it doesn't really mean anything.
That's true. How do you watch film? Has that evolved over your NBA career? Like, was it at one point like a VHS tape and then it became a DVD and then it became on a tablet, like that kind of a
Like the biggest, it was a DVD. I used to get these DVDs all the time. And then one day they went the route where they were giving guys all an iPad.
Okay.
And they would like upload this stuff on the iPad. You just had to return it. It would be like having a playbook, just return it at the end of the year, or pay the fee if you didn't return it and kept it or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And now they just send you clips. Like literally, it'll send them right to your phone. Like I can send it to you in a text message or in like WhatsApp or whatever. Like I can just send you like all your clips from the game and with notes right to you. So now it's really easy. You see them watching clips on the bench now.
That's true. Final few questions here. Who is the person in the NBA you looked up to the most? It's kind of a loaded question, but maybe some of the people that you're just like, damn, that's a legit person or someone to model after. That's from at Corey Manley.
Like, so we're not talking about game wise, right? We're just talking about like the,
I think it's kind of both, actually. It's like career, like how you, I mean, I would imagine that there are certain guys that showed you how to, you know, spend your money properly, stay away from this, stay away from that, make you an NBA player.
The first guy that made the big, big impact like that professionally, like just the way he did, was Derek Fisher.
Yeah.
When I met Derek Fisher, when he came to Utah for that year, he was like the first. And that's no offense to anybody I was with, but like he was a guy like that was well established, had won championships, obviously older in his career a little bit now. And I mean, the first time I met him is the prime example. So I went to the gym on like a Sunday evening. Nobody's ever there. Like I was always like, you know, like I said, I had the code. I was always in there. So I go there and I'm walking through the door. Same thing with like the Mimino Core story. Same double doors, and I hear like the ball machine gunning, like pounding fast, like going crazy, right? And all these ball handling drills. And I'm like, who is that? And I open the door and I step in, I see Fish in there at how many ever years in the league at this time, done all the things he's done, working like he's trying to get a deal. So it's also the first time I saw a guy, personal trainer of that stature. Shout out to my man Aubrey, who I ended up working with and coached me in Cleveland. Crazy how that kind of turned out, but working at this pace and this way, like all the two ball handling, all the stuff that Fish did, he's stopping doing planks in the workout, like I'm talking about going crazy, like, and I just sit down and watch. Like I don't even shoot that day, I just watch the way he's going, at the pace he's going, at how hard he's doing everything, how precise it is, because at this time I'm a kid, I'm just hooping, like we're getting shots up, but like it's not this. I'm just in the gym because I'm supposed to be. So I was good just because I was in the gym, not because we had actually figured out how to fine tune it for real. So when I watched him do that, and I introduced myself to Aubrey, got to talk to him some too. And I just kind of watched him for the rest of that year, just watched how he handled it, how he did things. And but he also would do like cool stuff for me too, to let me know like he was aware of some of the stuff that I was dealing with. Like he'd come nudge me, talk to me, he wouldn't have to say much. Like he'd be like, I see what's going on. This, da, 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 da. It's like, don't worry about this. This is going to happen. This is going to, and you can take that from somebody who's, you know, has been around and has done it. Then Kyle Korver came, same thing. I watched the way he approached shooting.
Yeah.
I took drills from him, the way he did his footwork, how he prepared, how he did things. Same thing. We ended up living in the same building. I don't even know if he knew I was watching him like I was watching him. Like, I don't think he even knew that. Like, but I've said that a lot of times since we've been on different teams. But,
yeah,
like, he was a big, big influence on preparation, too, just the way he worked and the way he handled things.
Yeah. That's cool. Final question from my wife. She was curious about this. Investments seems like something that players gradually became more aware of, and how to spend their money, how not to spend their money. Was there anything that you realized, you know, during your pro career or even afterwards that you're like, I should have done this, or something that helped during your pro career when you get a better understanding of how to manage money?
I'm trying to put this in the best way. It's just like you get to a point where you just see how much more it can work for you, like what you could be doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and sure. It doesn't even always have to be like these grand investments. It's just like, it just could have been doing more for myself with it. And then you would start to get in these rooms, obviously because of being in the league and the other things we talked about earlier that they do for us, start meeting these people, and you start to kind of get outside of that I'm a basketball player mindset. Cause like some of that stuff in the beginning, I won't lie, I was like, bro, I don't need to be in this room. I need to go to the gym.
You're
like this has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I think you get to a space where it finally starts to show you how much basketball can also do for you and what it will do for the rest of your life and how you can use it as a tool to be able to keep doing things like the things we do at St. Jude's Hospital when we go see those kids. Like, how can I get involved in spaces that allow me to like these things and to make money and to, if I have any other interests, how to get in touch with them, if I'm trying to decide something I want to go to school for, I can get an internship. Which will, you know what I mean? All these different things that it can work for me. I know we talk about money, but I'm just speaking on the grand thing. So that's the way I felt about with the money.
Yeah.
And they kept sending people to come teach us more and more. We'd have these meetings.
Yeah.
You start to really understand what's going on. And the biggest thing I did for myself was like all the things that they're trying to do to help you save money, to prepare you for after you're done playing. Like, even if I didn't fully understand them, like I sat there and if it was a plus for me, I said yes. And we would continue to learn about it though.
Yeah.
Like, cause it can't hurt me. I didn't just disregard everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they were like, yeah, we'll do this for you. And you say, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to know, like, well, what are you doing now?
Sure.
How does that work? What will happen if, knock on wood, I break my leg tomorrow?
Yeah. Right. There was a story from Shaq where I can't remember what it was or the context of it exactly, but he said he was going into a business meeting and the people on the business, on the opposite side, it's like they just kind of looked at him like, oh, hey, how you doing? And then they just paid more attention to his people that were with him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like that.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to become more informed so that way that doesn't happen again. You know, it's a maturity thing.
Because they'll be like speaking a different language with you in the room.
Yeah.
And it'll feel like that at one point in the beginning. Because he'd be like, you don't understand any of that. And they can just say whatever. And then the guy, for all you know, like I said, you got to get your financial person out of it. For all I know, he could be working with them because I don't understand it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he could be not saying that's the case, but how would I know?
Exactly.
How would I know what's going on in the room? It's like, if I go sit in a room and everybody's speaking French, they could be talking crazy about me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they could be saying anything. They could be telling me they about to blow the room up.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing. So, like, that was the thing with me. Like, I wanted to learn enough to be able to hold the conversation and where you couldn't just bypass me in the room. Like, and it's disrespectful because you're just looking at me like, I'm just, oh, yeah, that's the person we're going to get the money from. But, like, I don't know. Because people that look at you like that, those people would do something grimy. If they look at you, feel like they would, if they look at you like that.
Yeah. And there's lots of people who would, right?
We know that.
There's so many stories
everybody.
Yeah.
And that's on our scale and all the way down, like anybody.
Yeah. Fun pod. The word count between you and I think was like 30% me and 70% you. So get some water.
Yeah.
You're taking lots of sips there because you were talking a lot.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Asking all this questions.
This is cool. I know, man. I mean, the people wanted cool, to know. Yeah. And I hope you enjoyed it. Everyone, thank you for listening. Obviously, of course, rate, review, subscribe. YouTube, podcast platforms. And I hope you enjoyed the listen. CJ, Everything, closing thoughts?
Thank you guys for being engaged, man. Like, y'all sent us some questions, allowed us to do this episode. This is all y'all. So, you know, without y'all, we wouldn't have had this episode, this idea. Y'all gave us a lot of things to talk about. Here and like you said, everywhere you can listen, watch, subscribe, tell us what you think.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm up at 4 in the morning. I got all day.
Still can't believe that, but... All right, everyone. Thank you so much. CJ, obviously, my man. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. My man.
Talk soon.
Yes, sir.